From Carol McKinney Public Media in Oviedo, Florida.
Most women do not acknowledge themselves as veterans. They think it's more of a male type thing.
What we're finding out at BPW Foundation, they don't just readily always tell you that they are a veteran.
The voices of two women. The first, a local Navy veteran. The second, a board member of a national foundation taking steps to serve military women transitioning from active military duty to civilian life. Hello, I'm Stephen McKinney-Stack for CMF Public Media. Most of us, this reporter included, associate the male gender with the name veterans when we think of military veterans, even though there is an increasing population of women veterans in our country and in Seminole County, Florida, where there are more than 4,500 women military veterans. Because the issue of women veterans and the propensity for many of us to overlook women veterans, CMF chooses to reprise material from an original podcast in November 2011 CMF produced on this issue in recognition of Veterans Day in Seminole County. It features Vanita Garvin Valdez and Lori Reed, who spoke a year ago at an event hosted by the League of Women Voters of Seminole County. This is a condensation of the longer original version. We've posted a link to that longer version on our website. In their presentation, both speakers refer to websites, the links to which we have included on our own webpage, along with helpful links to other women veteran-related information, as well as each speaker's detailed bio and an online slideshow of photographs taken at the event by CMF's event photographer Charles E. Miller. Lori Reed serves as a counselor at Seminole Behavioral Healthcare. We'll hear from her in a moment. But first we give you the condensed remarks of Vanita Garvin Valdez, a non-veteran who is a CEO of a domestic abuse shelter in Key West, Florida. Valdez is helping lead a project called Joining Forces for Women, an initiative of the National BPW, Business and Professional Women's Foundation, where Valdez also holds a lay leadership position as board secretary. Vanita Garvin Valdez speaks about 7 minutes on the role of the foundation's history and their special interest in women military veterans.
In 2005, BPW Foundation, we recognized that there was a surge of women veterans returning home from two wars. Being the first foundation to focus research exclusively on working women, we wanted to know how workplaces were receiving these new and uniquely skilled workers and what resources are available to help them move from military to the civilian workforce. Even as an employer myself, I recognize that I don't even ask the question on the employment application, are you a woman veteran? So that's one thing that I've done a little bit differently at my workplace, so that, because I don't think women veterans, or what we're finding out at BPW Foundation, they don't just readily always tell you that they are a veteran. So what we've done at BPW Foundation, we have formed an advisory council, the Women Joining Forces Advisory Council, which is created to provide the expertise and experience needed to accomplish goals to support military women in their efforts to successfully transition to the civilian world. We have asked veterans what they need, and in 2007, in the absence of a publicly available database for women veterans at the foundation, what we did was we created a database where women can go and identify themselves as women veterans in hopes that they will begin to connect with other women veterans throughout the country. We didn't stop with research. We capitalized on our unique role as neutral conveners of policymakers, employers, and employees. And in October of 2010, we convened a summit in Washington, D.C. We had about 80 business, government, military, and community leaders attend the summit. And what we wanted to do in that very, very intimate setting was to really hear directly from women veterans, because who can tell us best how to help them? Women veterans themselves. I'm not a vet. I have not had the experience, so I have not walked that walk. So we really need to be open to hearing from women veterans themselves. And some of the things that was shared for as challenges for our women veterans is they often face, believe it or not, homelessness, difficulty with reintegration, and post-military employment issues. Now, how can women that are so skilled and educated face post-military employment issues? But these were some of the things that some of the women that we had, veterans at the summit, shared with us. One of the things that came out of the summit was that the women didn't feel that they had been informed. You know, you don't just leave and then tell me what services are available. There should be really like a transition to prepare you for the transition. So if you're leaving or you're exiting, maybe the transition should begin 12 to 18 months before you actually leave, and time can be spent educating women veterans on what services are available, what obligations does, you know, the military arm have for that female veteran that is exiting. The literature states, which is very alarming, that the transition takes 4 to 7 years when they actually leave, trying to transition into civilian life. There's a lot that can be enhanced, I think, before women even exit that would possibly aid in their being more successful once they do exit. We learned that women veterans hold a variety of adjustment needs, very distinct from men, involving children, family expectations, post-traumatic stress disorder, military sexual trauma, very prevalent, unfortunately, in military service. And yet they have leadership, management, teamwork, and other vital skills based on their military training that make them very valuable workers and leaders. We have a three-pronged approach as to how we are trying to address the needs of women veterans, one being that of collaboration. We have through our website, which is www.womenjoiningforces.org. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and again, we're just trying to build a community of women veterans so that they don't feel alone and feel so isolated as they reenter civilian life. Our second prong is knowledge sharing. And through knowledge sharing, again, it's the networking, it's the peer-to-peer learning opportunities through tools like the Women Joining Forces Veterans Facebook, our Dear Jane letter writing campaign, where, again, veterans are connecting with other veterans. We, again, are looking at a lot of the information that was shared at the summit. Issues on the homelessness, careers, and employment and reintegration. And as far as the reintegration assistance piece, there's an organization called Military to Medicine, which is a program that provides scholarships to women, veterans, to train them for careers in medicine. We are partnering with an organization called Ed2Go to provide scholarships for women veterans for online training. And we are really pleased to announce that BPW Foundation, we are committing $50,000 to deploy a mentorship program for women veterans. So that's in a nutshell about what we're doing at BPW Foundation. And we would hope that maybe you will be inspired to want to join us in our efforts here in Seminole County in helping women veterans. Thank you.
Speaking next is Lori Reed. She brings the women veterans issues down to a personal and a Seminole County level. Now, there is a bit of military acronyms and jargon Reed uses during her presentation, such as OIF and OEF. OIF stands for Operation Iraqi Freedom, OIF, and OEF for Operation Enduring Freedom. Both are military campaigns named as such by the United States Department of Defense. She also describes a stand-down event. Stand-down is a term used when frontline soldiers return to base camp to stand down for a brief period of time to address non-military personal business before returning to the front lines. Reed is a local U.S. Navy veteran, now in civilian life. Today, Reed serves as a counselor at Seminole Behavioral Healthcare. Her remarks run 14 minutes and address the specific aspects of being a female military veteran and the services and support of such veterans in Seminole County.
I'm going to kind of talk more about my experiences and the experiences that I've had so far working with Seminole County veterans. And as you know, that I have worked at Seminole Behavioral Healthcare in a clinical aspect and worked with different individuals, and I was honored to receive a $50,000 grant working with veterans, especially with OEF-OIF, which is Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom veterans. And from that angle, when I started working with them, I realized that I, too, am a veteran. And it is very shocking to say that because most women do not acknowledge themselves as veterans. They think it's more of a male type thing. I would always say, oh, I have military experience. I was in the Navy for 4 years. But to actually say I'm a veteran, it's a whole new light. It's very shocking, and it's almost very emotionally overwhelming, to say the least. And so many of the individuals that you will see coming back and stationed with us here in Seminole County will have the same kind of uniqueness of not wanting to identify themselves as veterans. They have a different stigma that's associated with it. So they normally do not want to raise their hand and say, yes, I served. They kind of want to stay in this, go away from the spotlight. From my angle, I was in the military in the early 90s and got out in 96, but I come from a plethora of military background. My father was in the Navy, did 3 tours in Vietnam. My grandfather was in the Air Force, and my other grandfather was also in the Navy. I must say that when I joined the military, I didn't know really what I was getting myself into. I just kind of really wanted to get away from home and see the world, so to speak, and a lot of individuals do join that because they do not have the other advantages of other individuals, such as going to college right after school, mainly because they come from middle class to subpar poverty, and that's a way that they can get away. A lot of individuals do join because of the fact of they may have some kind of history with law, myself included. I met my Navy recruiter because I had to serve community service hours. And a lot of individuals see that there's nothing else, and it was something that could give me a whole new life. And I thought, wow, this is what I need to do. A lot of individuals that you'll see mostly that have joined recently are joining because of after 9/11 and the patriotism that they see that they want to serve their country. And a lot is because there isn't a lot of job opportunities for them out there, and they get to try something totally different. To touch base about a little bit about my transition, I got out of the military. I was one of the first females on an aircraft carrier with 5,000 individuals. And out of 5,000 individuals, only 500 were women. And I was one of them. And we were deployed to the Persian Gulf. So we were there when Saddam Hussein was acting up, and we had to launch out aircraft. I worked with the F-14s, and it was one of the incredible moments of my entire life. But it was also the roughest time as well. So you have mixed emotions when you talk about things like this. And even though it happened in 95, I still get emotional about it. And you lived in a nice little, it was about this big of this table that opened up, and that was your personal belongings, and that was all that you had. So blow dryers were not an option. Makeup, no. You had to cut your hair very short. And if you did have hair, you had to wrap it up in a bun. So there's certain things that kind of strips you of being feminine. And so it's very difficult when you're around other individuals and you have to not be who you think you should be. And it is very empowering to be in the military, especially as a female. You are very much so empowered. Needless to say, there is a point in time when you're empowered, but there's also a point that you're also very vulnerable. And there are individuals that have experienced the military sexual trauma on top of a lot of mental health disorders. And sometimes when they do get out, they work at subpar jobs that they never thought that they would actually be trained to do, and go into substance abuse. A lot of them will then go into depression, and we see them a lot in our community service centers. And it's really interesting. And the same thing that happens with the men will happen to the females, but their flight is a little different. So I just wanted to let you know a little bit about how many veterans are in Seminole County. Does anybody know? There's 38,594 veterans in Seminole County. And out of that number, about 12% are females. And they are not just OEF, OIF. They're also Vietnam ones. And I've met a lot of them that are out there. And it's kind of interesting when you start talking with a veteran, it takes you straight back there. And it is a network of individuals that no one else can really touch. It is a relationship that is dynamic. And you instantly trust that individual because you've been there, done that, and know it. And so there is a collaboration that does occur. So it's really hard for a veteran to trust other individuals who are not veterans, unless there is a veteran that is leading that pact of initiative, because it is very difficult to trust another individual because of what they have gone through. Florida is the actually third largest state behind California and Texas that have women veterans. We have a huge pocket of veterans here, particularly female veterans. And I wanted to touch a little bit about on the homelessness, and because a lot of veterans won't raise their hand and say, I'm a veteran, particularly the female veteran, there isn't really statistics on how many homeless female veterans are out there today, especially in Seminole County. It is something that it is not recorded, something that is not really shown, and it's also very embarrassing for a female vet or any vet to say, oh, I am a veteran, and here I am homeless. That stigma is extremely hard to overcome because you have fought your country, you have taken care of millions of dollars of equipment, and here you are living out of your car with your children with nothing. And it's extremely a downward spiral. So when I got out in 96, I was wondering what I was going to do in my life. And the transition was extremely difficult. I am a very headstrong individual. And so I take things as they come. And I am not a type of person that's going to step back and wait. And most of the female veterans that you have, it's very difficult if they cannot find jobs, because they are very resilient individuals. And so they may start thinking that it's something with them as to why they're not getting the jobs that are out there, and how it can be translated back from, oh, I worked with my machinery, now I have to be behind a desk. Way different scenario. I wanted to let you know also that there's incredible things that happen in Seminole County that are with veterans and that you guys may not know about. And the number one thing is the stand downs that they have. And a lot of the stand downs that they have, and a lot of churches put this together, where veterans will come and they will get a shower, they will get some food, they will get into primary care physicians are there, get some kind of information, mental health counseling, Seminole Behavioral Health Care, we're there. And a lot of things are towards mainly for the male veterans. But it would be really awesome to have a section that is specifically for the females. And I will just give you some statistics of what I mean regarding the females that I think that you'll find a little alarming, is that most of the women females frequently report being disrespected and not given the recognition they deserve for having served in the military. The benefits that they have at the VA are very limited. Now, they have changed drastically. But I do remember after I got out of the military, I thought, oh, let me go to the VA, because that's what everybody kept on telling me. And I'm there at the VA, and there's an individual that's in a wheelchair, and he has a bag. And I see another individual that's missing limbs. These are all older gentlemen from the previous wars. And I'm the only female there, and granted, I was in my early 20s. And I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world am I doing here? There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not as bad as this person here. So I'm leaving. I'm just out of here. And it was just an powerful moment where I did not realize I fit in, because it was being in the military, there isn't female service people who do your women's wellness checks. There isn't women that do those types of things. You are prone to be part of the male population. And so, but being there and realizing that I didn't lose arms, I didn't lose legs, I didn't do those types of things. I didn't see myself as the typical veteran. And we realize that we think that the typical veteran is the ones that are the males that are in the wheelchairs that have the veteran Vietnam veteran war caps, but realize that in the next couple of years, we're going to be seeing a lot of those females wearing those types of hats in those types of wheelchairs. And it's going to be a whole different viewpoint of how we take care of them. Another thing is that historically, women veterans served in the armed services definitely do not identify themselves as veterans. And it took me from 96 to just about a year or so ago. And I want to thank my friend Ed Buford at the Seminole County Community Service Center, who really showed me the way. A lot of individuals are not aware of the benefits that they have. They don't think that the benefits pertain to them as well. And the other issues that females are fighting for that they don't necessarily see is that there is about the current projected percentage of U.S. veterans who are among the population are 8% are females. The average age of the woman veteran is about 48. We think it's much younger than that. Women have identified with PTSD and hypertension and depression are the top diagnostic criteria for women. And about 1 in 5, which is the typical population in the general population, responded yes when screened for military sexual trauma. Though rates of the military sexual trauma are higher among women, there are also men that are coming forward with that as well. The largest group of women today are obviously our OEF, OIF veterans, and most of them are not those that are just on active duty, but are National Guard and Reserves who have been called to duty that are not naturally connected with a squadron or a platoon. So they are the ones that will be transitioning back, and those are the ones that are in Seminole County because they are not attached to a base. And if they are, it's in Alabama. It's out of state. And those are the individuals that will be transitioning back without the support of the actual individuals that they have been surrounded with for months at a time, even years at a time, called their military friends. About 13% are the OEF, OIF veterans or women. 54% of women have received VA health care, and of those, 88.8% have used the VA system at least more than once. So the VA system is overwhelmed. They will be coming into our services out in the community. They will be seeking help, but they may not claim themselves as veterans. So it's very important that we make sure that if they are veterans, that we honor them. We don't go into much detail as to, did you kill someone? Were you sexually traumatized? Do you have PTSD? Are you using substances? These are questions that they're embarrassed to talk about. They necessarily aren't going to come up there and say, here's my story. It is a remarkable stories that each individual has, and we want to hold that sacred for them. And we just want to help them transition back into regular life. And if we can do anything, it's to participate in those events that are there and just be there for them, help them through that process, and always refer them back to especially Seminole County Community Service Center. If they have mental health services or substance abuse, to refer them over to Seminole Behavioral Health Care because we do have a pocket of veterans that do work closely with them. And to set them up with a mentor of a veteran, that's the biggest thing. So I want to say thank you for your time. Thank you for having me here, and I really appreciate that.
You've been hearing remarks from two speakers on the state of women military veterans in Seminole County, Florida, and the challenges many women veterans face as they transition from active military duty to civilian life. Speakers were Lori Reed, a local U.S. Navy veteran now in civilian life. Today, Reed serves as a counselor at Seminole Behavioral Health Care. And speaker Vanita Garvin Valdez, a non-veteran who is CEO of a domestic abuse shelter in Key West, Florida. Valdez is helping lead Joining Forces for Women, a project of the National Business and Professional Women's Foundation, where Valdez also holds a lay leadership position as board secretary. On this podcast webpage, we have provided the link to the CMF podcast of the full program and audience questions to which each speaker responded. Plus, you'll find many web links to sources mentioned by each speaker, plus a detailed bio on each speaker's credentials. And in our online slideshow, you may view still photographs of the event taken by CMS photographer Charles E. Miller. This presentation was recorded before an audience of 30 League members and guests on Thursday, November 17, 2011, at the Patio Grill in Sanford, Florida, as part of a Hot Topics luncheon hosted by the League of Women Voters of Seminole County, Florida. You may wish to consider emailing a link to this feature to those you know who have an interest in women military veterans, and please share your comments about this feature with CMF Public Media and others while you're online. When visiting the CMF website, please consider subscribing to our feature content using the RSS feature we provide for your feed reader, or subscribe using iTunes. Once subscribed, you'll be alerted immediately to each new feature we produce and post. New podcasts are usually posted on a monthly cycle. Stay in touch, too, won't you? Follow CMF on Twitter and Facebook, or email us using the contact link provided on the website. And you may also subscribe to CMF's free e-letter, so we may keep you up to date on the programming and activities of Carol McKinney Public Media. CMF is a nonprofit, publicly supported charity. Ample information about CMF's budget, governance, history, and future plans may be found in the transparency document dropdown at the top of the homepage. For Carol McKinney Public Media, I'm Stephen McKinney Stack.
Support for CMF Public Media is made possible in part by the Friends of Carol McKinney, who encourage you to make a tax-deductible gift in support of the programming activities of Carol McKinney Foundation for Public Media.
You may give online at cmfmedia.org, where you may also see a complete list of those friends in the donor section of the website.
This podcast is a presentation of Carol McKinney Foundation for Public Media, Incorporated.
Visit cmfmedia.org for more information.
This is Judith Delora Smith for CMF Public Media.
And this is Michael Hominick.